Some future industries could rely on metals from the moon. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. Earlier this month, the highly anticipated launch of the Orion spacecraft finally happened at NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
3, 2, 1, boosters in ignition. And liftoff of Artemis 1.
The liftoff of that unmanned rocket was the first in a series of the agency's Artemis missions, which aimed to, eventually, establish a long-term human presence on the moon's surface and begin building a lunar economy, including extracting precious metals and minerals to send back to Earth. But before sending humans, the agency has to test complex rockets, heat shields, and life support systems. Speed is of the essence because the U.S. and China are in a new space race to get humans to the moon. On this Thanksgiving holiday, we're revisiting a conversation with Peter Gerritsen, a senior fellow in defense studies at the American Foreign Policy Council. He says this time, the stakes are different.
So our efforts to go to the moon this time are not really principally about signaling to a global audience our relative technological prowess. This is principally about pursuing economic hard power and advantage, about who will have preferential access to the jobs of the future, to the economy of the future. And the moon is absolutely central to that incorporation of the inner solar system into the Earth's economic sphere, because it's close, because it has low gravity, because it is resource rich. And of course, if a foreign power can limit your access to resources, like on Earth, you can see Russia limiting access to natural gas for Europe, you lose national security in that exchange.
What kinds of industries do you imagine being set up on the moon to create that economic engine?
The very first thing that you'll see are going to be industries that support civil spaceflight itself. So you'll see the early attempts to use the vast Great Lakes worth of ice in the lunar South Pole to get water, water that can sustain astronauts and reduce the logistics load to the moon, water that can be turned into hydrogen and oxygen that can be used for rocket fuel. And then you'll start to see metal production, and that metal production probably will initially be to help sort of set up and support lunar base operations for industrial processes.
This project is projected to cost something like $93 billion for U.S. taxpayers, more than expected, as many programs like this end up running over. Why does the government think this is worth the cost right now?
I think at the core of it is great power competition. It is the concern that if we allow China to continue moving at its pace without, you know, increasing our own efforts, that, you know, would have hugely detrimental effects if the United States ceased to be the lead actor and the, you know, benefiting economic actor in that domain.
Who then controls who gets to have access to what resources on the moon?
Right now, the United States and China are both a party to the Outer Space Treaty. And the Outer Space Treaty, you know, essentially says that the moon and space, you know, are free to access by any nation. And of course, the moon is quite big, though perhaps not everything that everyone would want on the moon, you know, is equally available. So what the Outer Space Treaty is basically a gentleman's agreement among nations that has extremely weak enforcement. And as long as both sides choose to play by the rules, then it's a very cooperative game of you do what you want, we'll do what we want, and we'll sort of act with due regard for each other's interests. So, you know, if the Chinese behavior in Antarctica, you know, in their near seas abroad, in the South China Sea, in the East China Sea, are indications, then we have to be worried, you know, that China will use every effort to propaganda, you know, this peaceful use of outer space, while in fact trying to do all the things they try to do on Earth of corralling and controlling the resources.
Peter Gerritsen is a senior fellow at the American Foreign Policy Council. And now for some related links. NASA has information about all the stages of the Artemis missions online, and we'll link to it on our website, marketplacetech.org. And if you want to read more about the defense and national security aspects of this, military news site Defense One has an article looking into that, including more thoughts from Peter. The Artemis 1 mission is more than just a test flight. It's packed with actual experiments and projects that are impressive in their own right, like satellites mapping ice on the moon's surface, or a solar sail heading for an asteroid. More about those space adventures in the science journal Nature. Now, the eventual goal of all of this is to get humans to Mars. So there are also human-like mannequins on board the spacecraft. There's one named Commander Moonkin Campos, which will help test the spacesuits explorers will wear. His name was picked by public contest, by the way, and CNN has a piece about that. And the Tampa Bay Times has a piece on Zohar and Helga, two mannequin torsos modeled after women's bodies, because women have a higher risk of breast cancer from radiation exposure. NASA didn't use special radiation protection on the Apollo missions because the astronauts were in space such a short time. And back then, the impact of radiation definitely wasn't studied on women astronauts because there simply weren't any. This time around, NASA aims to change that. Sasha Fernandez produced this show. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.